continuing our look at the book of James. And anybody who's spent any time in James at all would understand that James is very economical with words. He didn't use words where they weren't necessary. He called a spade a spade. He spoke the truth. So his short book, not a very long book at all, this is our third episode of looking at James, and we're still in chapter one, and chapter one's not a very long chapter. So that's a bit of an indication of the depth that James gets into what he's written. He doesn't waste words. He's very economical with them. So we've looked at 2 weeks, looked at James, and we've come along now, finishing off chapter one now. It's only 27 verses in chapter one. And today we're looking at James 1, verses 19 to 27. Not very many verses, but lots of information, packed with information. So I call this more than listening, this message, more than listening. Every time we open our Bibles, it's important that we pay careful attention to what's being said. One of the first things the Bible tells us about God is that he speaks. Genesis 1:3, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Hebrews 11:3 tells us that he created the universe by his words. And now his words can be used to bring new spiritual life to all people, you and me included. At the end of the message last week, in verse 18, we heard how God chose to give us new birth, through the word of truth, his word, the Bible. And now in verse 21, James speaks of the word of God as the seed in the soil that we're intended to nurture so that it grows to full maturity in us, yielding an abundant crop. So let's just read this section of God's word, James 1, 19 through to 27. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they'll be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. The main way God relates to us is through his word. So we need to listen very carefully to what he says, because we, being fallible humans, are very easily deceived. Verse 22 there said, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. James is wanting to guard us from becoming stuck as spiritual infants, as Christians. 1 Peter 5:8, big warning from Peter, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The danger is that we can think we're doing what the word says when in fact we're not. And our enemy, Satan, is very skilled at deceiving us in that way. The last thing that he wants is us to draw closer to God. So how do we listen properly to God? Well, we shouldn't just hear his word. We also need to accept it and obey it. Notice that both of those words are verbs. They involve action. We need to do something. But are we good listeners? James says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." Now we know that there were times when Jesus was angry. But Jesus was right to be angry. We know that his anger was justified. And we know that it was slow in coming. Too often our anger is neither of those things. Think about the last time you lost control of your temper. How quickly did it happen? What caused it? We can easily be angry at the wrong things in the wrong way, and our anger can too often be quick in coming and not justified by the situation. James continues, "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." So we need to be ruthless with our sin. We can be so easily corrupted by moral filth because it's all around us in society and in the media. Now, James isn't jumping around between different subjects here, even though it might sound like that. He's not jumping from listening advice to anger management and now ethics. All these things are part of the same issue: how we respond to God's word. The way we get rid of sin is by humbly accepting God's word. If you want to have a better heart, a more godly mind, a cleaner mouth, and more productive hands, make sure you use your ears well. We're not going to change for the better without God's word. It's when we've learned to listen carefully to him that we can start to live lives that please him. But to know how to please someone, you need to have listened to them for a while. You need to have listened to them enough to know what it is they like. The hardest people to buy presents for are those we don't know very well. If you haven't spent time with them, you don't know what they like. So how much time do we give to the Word of God? Are we listening? There's two important things that can help us to really listen to God's Word. And the first is studying the Bible together. Now, Christians have always understood that listening to God is something that we do preferably together. After he was raised from the dead, Jesus looked at the scriptures with two of his disciples. And those disciples later reported that their hearts burned within them as Jesus explained the true meaning of the passages that they studied with him. From its beginning, the church in Acts devoted itself to the teaching of the apostles. In Berea, the Jews were commended by Paul for receiving the gospel message enthusiastically, and they earned and earnestly searching the scriptures daily to see if what Paul was telling them was true. And we're told that as a result of this, many of them believed. And later in his life, Paul emphasized to Timothy the importance of preaching the word of God and of handling it correctly. God's word has always been at the center of the church life of his people. And that's why we encourage everyone to study the Bible together in small groups. And we call them here Connect groups. And we've got a number of them meeting at different times of the week to suit different people's agendas and time slots. We learn from each other. We teach each other. And we learn things from examining the passage together that we would never have learned if we were looking at it by ourselves. We get other people's points of view. Now, the second thing that can help us to really listen to God's word is to study the Bible alone. Now, spending time each day reading the Bible and reflecting on the passage and praying is usually known as our quiet time. And this is where we deepen our relationship with God. A lot of people find that first thing in the morning is the best time to do this, for God's word to be the first voice we hear each day before our minds are crowded out by the busyness of the day. And many use a devotional as an aid for that, like Our Daily Bread or Vision 180. And there's copies of Vision 180 on the table out there if you'd like a copy yourself. And we use these devotionals to guide us through this in a structured way, through his word in a structured way. But what matters more than how or when we do this is that we do actually do it. We need to accept God's word. And there's no way that we can do this that's not going to take some time. It's a big book, lots and lots of words. It involves thought. It involves consideration. We want to listen to him and get to know the Bible and for his word to change us. But when we finally get around to opening our Bible, it's often a case of us saying to God, "Lord, please speak to me, but I've only got 60 seconds or 5 minutes or until the train reaches my stop." Very often the case. Our lives can be so busy. And there never seems to be enough time in the day to do all the things we really need to do. It really comes down to where our priorities lie. We all make time for what we see as most important to us. So it matters that we listen, especially when it's God that we're listening to. James began by teaching us that we need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. In fact, he told us to take note of it. It's something that needs to be jotted down on a mental post-it note and stuck right at the front of our minds so that we don't forget. It's good advice for anyone in pretty much any situation. It's the stuff of worldly wisdom. You've got two ears and one mouth. Use them in that proportion. But it's especially wise when we apply it to our relationship with God. There, more than anything else, we need to be quicker to listen and slower to speak. Now, James is not saying to remain silent. He has a lot to say later on in this letter about prayer, but he's challenging us to be listeners first. It's all too easy to reel off to God all of our problems and troubles we're experiencing, what all of our needs are, particularly when we're going through tough times. And we all have those times. Yet what we need most is the wisdom that only God can give us. And that wisdom lies in his word, first and foremost. If we truly wish to be wise, we need to humbly accept the word God has so kindly planted in us and written down for us. If one problem is that we don't listen to the word of God, another is we often only listen and do nothing more than that. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. The word's been planted in us, but that doesn't mean our role is now passive. It's not that we now just sit back and do nothing while the word automatically grows in our lives and does its thing. We need to do what it says. Listening is essential, but just listening is about as useful as not listening. It's possible to read the Bible every day, but to achieve no more than move the bookmark forward. Now, I've been guilty of that for most of my life regarding the book of Deuteronomy. Now, I want you all to be very honest about this. Before we did the Deuteronomy series this year, did you have the same attitude? Reading Deuteronomy to just move the bookmark forward was completely irrelevant to us today. Who else felt that way? Now, who of you now feels that way after doing that series on Deuteronomy? That series on Deuteronomy blew my mind, because I thought, how could I have missed all of these truths all these years? God's word is so dense. There's so much in it. And every time we read it, we're reading it the 10th time, the 100th time, or the 1,000th time, there is more information coming out, more depth of meaning. It's infinite in its depth of meaning. Now, James gives an illustration to emphasise his point, how we should use the word. And it's a bit like how we should use a mirror. Whenever we look at the word, we are like someone who looks at his face in the mirror. What really matters isn't the look we take, but what we do is a result of the look. So that's the metaphor. Now, whether it be what we see in the mirror, be sauce on our shirt, a crooked collar, messy hair, or whatever, the purpose of the mirror is to reveal any problems so that we can correct them straight away before we go out into public. Nothing is quite as foolish as someone who goes away from the mirror and immediately forgets what he looks like. If we realise that we look like a public embarrassment, we don't ignore what we've seen. James's point is that God's word should have exactly the same effect on us. Same effect as a mirror. We're supposed to act on what it shows us, not ignore it. Like a mirror, God's word shows us what we're really like. Hebrews describes it as a double-edged sword. As we read it, it challenges, it provokes, it confronts us. It reads us. That's the truth. When you read the Bible, one of the things that happens is that it shows you, you. Now, that can be pretty confronting. So it's not enough to just listen to God's word. It's not enough to get what it says or what a given passage might mean. We need to respond to it, to live in the light of it. To listen without responding is to walk out into the day ignoring the toothpaste that's smeared, you've just discovered is smeared all over your face. If God's word doesn't have an impact on us, we're missing the point of reading it. But why bother? Obedience is always an effort. It often costs a lot, and it takes time. So what's going to keep us committed to doing what it says? James tells us, whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. James describes God's word in a number of ways in this chapter. He describes it as the word of truth. He describes it as the word planted in us. which we need to accept. And it's the perfect law that gives us freedom. Now, the word law is not a, doesn't conjure up very many positive images. By referring to God's word as law, James is emphasizing that all of it is calling on us to do something. Every part of it demands a response of repentance and faith. We can never just read it and say, oh, that doesn't really speak into my life right now. All of it is intended to change us today. We need to think and pray carefully about how any section of Scripture applies to it. It's good to ask of any passage, how should this affect my thinking, my attitude, my behaviour? God's word is perfect. It's the perfect law that gives freedom. It's exactly what we need. It fits us perfectly as we live by it, obeying its teachings. We discover true freedom. And true freedom is only found when we're in an environment that we were designed to flourish in. And that is obedient to God's word. As we live by God's word, we experience true life. Now, obedience isn't something we should resent. Every command God gives us is for our good. The difference between his commands and anybody else's is that his are given purely out of love for us, as we were so ably reminded by Elijah and Janice this morning at communion. And he also desires us to flourish and to prosper. No command will ever work against us if we follow it, and ignoring one will never actually end up being better for us. We must be careful not to misdefine freedom and so disobey the very words that bring us true freedom. So following God's word changes us. The presence or absence of these changes shows whether or not we practice what James calls true religion. And he begins with what true religion isn't. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Not controlling our words is a sign that we are not actually following God. If we find ourselves to be saying things that are destructive or untrue or which get us into trouble, and we wish we'd never said, it may well be we're not truly committed. James expects that Christians will have some control over what they say. Now, God's word teaches us that we shouldn't gossip or lie or curse others. It says there should be no obscenity or coarse joking. If these things are a normal part of our speech, then we shouldn't imagine that all is well between us and God. Now, having dealt with the negative, James now comes to the positive. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Now, that at first sight looks very strange. Why is he just picking out orphans and widows? The orphan and widow in James's day were the most destitute and vulnerable. There was no welfare in those days. Those who couldn't provide for themselves had to fend for themselves. Orphans and widows of that day that James is talking about there represent the most needy in our society today. People like those that the Lydia Project is attempting to address and help. Their distress should matter to us. Now, God's word describes God as a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. So understanding this verse on the screen and putting it into practice in our lives will lead to us becoming more like our God in how we care for those in special need. We can have no assurance that we really have received God's truth until such care is showing in our lives. Now, further evidence of our obedience to God is seen in our determination to avoid the moral pollution of the world. There's a steadily increasing number of ways our society is pushing us in the opposite direction to the way that God's called us to live. The tongue, helping the impoverished, and in doing so not following the crooked things of the world, are huge issues that James has raised. But he doesn't leave them here. Each of these topics forms what the bulk of the letter is about. We will look at it in the coming weeks. Chapter 2 is mainly concerned with our attitude to the poor. Chapter 3, with our use of the tongue. More about the tongue. And the damage that it will cause when not kept under tight control. And chapter 4 unpacks more about what it means to be worldly in our thinking and our behaviour. In all that, James says to listen. And more than that, accept and obey the word God has for us. This is the way of true religion and where true religion begins and flows from. This will be the way of freedom and blessing.